Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to begin my comments on the gospel lesson for today with a reference to the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. Here, Jeremiah says, by the inspiration of the Lord, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Here we learn something about the mercy of the Lord that it is comforting to consider. First of all, it says in our text here that the mercies of the Lord never cease. They do not fail. Right? They never cease. Secondly, it says here of the mercies of the Lord that they do not wane. They do not recede, get lesser. You know, we get sick and tired of being merciful to people, right? Especially when they burden us, right? We get tired of being merciful. God doesn't get tired of being merciful, all right? So number one, his mercies never cease. Number two, they never wane. They never diminish. And number three, they are new every morning. That is, every morning when you wake up, God's mercy begins upon you as if he'd never been merciful before. That today, the mercy that he shows you is mercy as if he's never shown mercy before. He's like right on top of his game, right? You see what the Lord is saying to us? It's so easy for us to fall into despair. It's so easy for us to get droopy, to get draggy. You know, we neglect God's word. We neglect our prayers. We neglect to do the things we know we ought to, and we so often do the things we know we shouldn't. And therefore, we put ourselves in a position of diminishing faithfulness. It's so easy for us to get in a rut, especially when it comes to believing in the mercy of the Lord. And so in this passage here, as we begin to think about our gospel lesson for today, we learn that God's mercies never cease, they never wane, and they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Now we can turn our attention to the gospel lesson for today and consider that what we have here, first of all, what we have is an intentional fulfillment of messianic prophecy by Jesus. He engineers this triumphal entry into Jerusalem in fulfillment of the prophet Zechariah. All right? So Jesus is doing this intentionally. And when he does it, all of the Passover pilgrims going up to Jerusalem, they immediately understand what he is doing when he rides triumphantly into Jerusalem upon a donkey. And they begin to respond, confessing him to be the Messiah. All right, we'll get into more details about this in a moment. But here you have an intentional act of Jesus in fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy by which he is saying something about who he is, and he is eliciting a response from those who witness it. All right? This is important. Now, first, let's talk about the theme. We are beginning a new church year, a new year of grace. By God's mercy, we are still living in the age of grace. We are still living in the time of opportunity. God still gives his Holy Spirit freely, the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting. So we are now entering into a new year of grace in the church, and this gospel of the fulfillment of prophecy in Jesus is a comforting picture for us Christians of how the Lord Jesus continues to come to us with his grace and his mercy. So though we are often discouraged by our own sins and failings, yet when we look upon Jesus and what he is for us, we are comforted that even in this new year, despite inflation, despite crazy people running our lives, right, we nevertheless are assured that God is gracious to us in Christ. And therefore, this is for us a picture of how he comes to us in his mercy and in his grace, which are new every morning. So the first question is, who is it who comes to us? And the first answer to it is when Jesus gives his instruction to the disciples. Right? Go into the city, you'll find this animal with a colt with her, loose them and bring them to me, and if anybody says anything to you, you say, the Lord has need of them, and they will send them. And the disciples go, probably thinking that this is a little bit sketchy, right? You know, we're going to go into somebody's private yard and take their donkey, you know? We're going to pull out of town on their Camaro, right? And so anyway, the disciples go and do as Jesus does, and everything works out right. And what this does is it answers the question of who Jesus is by picturing for us, number one, his omniscience. He knows everything. And his omnipotence, his almightiness, all right? Because Jesus, without prior plan, simply wills something to be so, and it is so. And so right here, when we think about the one who rides into Jerusalem, the first answer to the question, who is it who rides into Jerusalem, is the omniscient, omnipotent one, all right? The King, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. And he knows all things. He knows our needs. He knows our sins. He knows our failings. But he also knows of all that he gives for our forgiveness, life, and salvation. All right, now, the second thing that St. Matthew brings up for us is the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. So we need to take a look at the prophecy of Zechariah. And in Zechariah chapter 9, notice that what Matthew does is he gives us not only a condensed version of Zechariah 9, but he actually swings in another passage of scripture from Isaiah 62. That's the way, remember, Bibles in the days of Jesus did not have chapters and verses, right? So they had to give you snippets of passages for your consultation, so you would know what they're referring to, right? So the first text is this, in Zechariah 9, and I want you to remember several things. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Remember that. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, so you have to rejoice and shout. Why? Thy king cometh unto thee. He is just, he's righteous, and having salvation. So the king comes not to bust heads. The king comes righteous and having salvation. Lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So the donkey was, when a king rides into the capital city, the place of his palace, riding a donkey, that is a proclamation that he comes in peace, in lowliness, for the benefit and help of his subjects. All right? So notice, we have the phrase daughter of Zion, daughter of Jerusalem. Then we have the coming of a king, but this is a king who has salvation. He does not come to bust heads. He does not come to punish his enemies. He comes having salvation. He comes in lowliness, riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. So all of this is implicit in what Matthew quotes in chapter 21, but he doesn't feel the need to quote the entire thing. He knows that you are well familiar with the passage from Zechariah 9. So he simply mentions king, meekness, sitting upon an ass. All right? Then, there's another little passage in Isaiah the prophet. And in Isaiah the prophet, chapter 62, verse 11. Listen to this, and notice what Matthew has done intentionally. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed to the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. So you see what Matthew's done? He has taken a snippet from Isaiah 62 and tacked it onto the beginning of his quotation of Zechariah 9:9. Because in Matthew, it says, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. So the first few words is a quotation from Isaiah 62, and the rest of it is from Zechariah 9. Why am I belaboring this point? Right? I'm belaboring the point because both of these passages deal very strongly with the message that this king who comes to you has salvation. He comes in righteousness. He comes, his reward is with him, and his work is before him, and he comes to save you, to help you, to shed mercy upon you. And this is how Jesus comes to us. He comes to us riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. And you might be tempted to think, what does that have to do with his coming to us? Because Jesus comes to us riding upon his word and upon the sacraments of baptism and Holy Communion. three lowly things in the world's estimation: words, water, bread, and wine. In the lowliness of these things, things that are easily dismissed, the Lord Jesus comes as on a vehicle. And just as he came to Jerusalem riding upon a donkey, so he comes to his church, the daughters of Zion, the believers of Christ. He comes to us upon his word and upon the sacraments that he has instituted. And so who is this who comes to us with grace? The Lord Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Therefore, it is good and right that we respond to him by saying, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, the other thing that this passage talks about is, who does he come to? All right? Who does he come to? And both of our Old Testament quotations tell us very clearly, as does Matthew, he comes to the daughters of Zion. What does that mean? That's figurative language. The daughter of Zion, the daughter of Jerusalem, means the inhabitants of the city, the people. It's not just the bricks and mortar of the buildings that makes a place, but it is the people. Just like the church is not the building with the windows and the furniture. The church is the gathering of the people of God. We could have church in the garage if we had to. The church, when we say, I'm going to church, we often think we're going to a particular building in a particular place. But what we're doing is we're actually saying, I'm gathering with the saints around the word and sacraments, where Jesus comes to us in order to strengthen us, to encourage us, to build us up. And so who does he come to? He comes to you. Who are you? You are a believing child of God. You may be in tough shape. You may have, in the past year, gone through rough times. Your faith may be a little dented and a little bruised. But the fact is, Jesus is still a gracious, saving Lord. And he is this for you. And he will, in this new year of grace, come to you in his grace with everything that you need to flourish, so that you join with others in welcoming him by the words of Psalm 118. And that's what I'd like to end on today. Psalm 118. All right, so. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. So who enters into the gate of righteousness? Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he enters into these gates of righteousness in order to suffer, to die, to rise again from the dead for your everlasting salvation. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And then verse 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. In the Hebrew, Hosanna, Hosanna. Save us now is what that word means. Hosanna. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, we have blessed you out of the house of God. That is what we confess, what we say. We welcome Jesus as the one who has answered our prayer for help and salvation. And we rejoice in his coming. He comes in the name of the Lord to be and to do everything we need to be assured that we are the beloved of the Lord and that we are living in his grace in the day of grace. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.